Yes, please.
Oh, hello.
Well, hello, Christine.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm very excited about what's coming up.
Yes, me too.
So what is new in the world? Oh, happy National Coming Out Day.
Yes, yeah, that's today, and 4 years ago today we interviewed Blair on National Coming
Oh,
Out Day. So
wow.
kind of an anniversary for us. Very cool.
Yeah, no, super cool. Do you have any new news in the quending world? We haven't done quending in so long.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no kidding. I actually, just when you said that, everything in my head just went out my ears.
That's okay. I actually have one.
Okay.
So I was reading in Curve magazine today, and I guess same-sex marriage is banned in China. And so a lot of same-sex couples have been getting married in Utah. And there's like a really, really big market for Chinese same-sex couples. And I guess they've been getting married online. Like they've just been having the ceremony, but it's through Utah. And then they can have kind of, I guess, the feeling that they are legally married, in the US, even though it's not recognized in their own country. And then that got me thinking, like, it's such a market, right? Like it would be sorry, it would just be so that would be such a great job, like such a fun job, marrying people and like finding that little ounce of happiness,
Right.
not that they're not happy, but you know what I mean,
No,
like
yeah. No, for
being
sure.
able to show them that they can be married. So I thought that was really, really interesting.
Especially from Utah. Like, Utah
I
is
know.
by and large, like, very conservative, isn't it?
I think so, but
That's like
I
where
don't
all
know.
the Mormons live, aren't they?
Yeah, it's I think very religious, very Christian. A
Yeah,
lot of Mormons are
conservative.
there. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. And then I kind of went down this rabbit hole as, like thinking that that's just probably would be such a great thing to be doing, great career
So
for.
you could like essentially say, I'd like to get married with so and so, with somebody like an Elvis impersonator from Vegas on Zoom.
Yeah, it's kind of like running away and getting married with Elvis, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I did see someone I follow who's like basically a personality but a chef for New York Magazine, New York Times Magazine, or New York Times anyway. And they were officiating a wedding. So I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. So you can like officiate the wedding and then cater
I know, I was thinking that would be
it.
like a really great job. Like I might look into it.
So
Like,
you'd like get yourself
I
credentialed, I
guess,
guess.
yeah, like, is it called an officiating license?
I have no idea.
No, I don't know. I'm not using the right term, but anyways, I'm gonna look into it.
Yeah,
Next thing I
that
know,
could be your
I'm
side gig.
marrying. Yeah, I might be marrying you.
Me and my what?
Anyways, I just thought it was like a nice little positive spin for,
Yes.
there's so many countries out there where same-sex marriage isn't recognized, your rights aren't recognized,
Yeah,
and
you could like get
yeah.
very, very hurt and like
Yeah,
die.
and creative ways of finding happiness, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's really,
So,
really interesting. So, did you want to talk a bit about who our guest is today?
well, we have a guest coming from Northern Health to
Yes.
talk about a what? Sorry.
No, I just agreed with you. I said yes.
Oh. Yeah, and I think it's a doctor coming to talk to us about monkeypox, and I think
Yes.
it's really exciting. And you can add a little tidbit where we have some information coming and questions coming from the public, which I think is great.
Yes, there was some we put it on our social media platforms to for people to submit questions, and we got a fair amount of questions. I kind of bundled them together and I took their names out. So if it sounded the same, then it just became like one question. So yeah, it's really, really interesting. And I think this is amazing, you know, because there's really not a lot of information in Northern Health, the district, about monkeypox. And it's great to see some engagement from not only the LGBT community, but everyone.
Mm-hmm. So. And I'm hoping a lot of our questions will be answered. So I'm really excited.
For sure. And, you know, I'm just going to preface any question I have. It's going to sound incredibly ignorant and coming from an uneducated space, but I'm very excited that I'm going to be educated on monkeypox.
You are educated. Sorry for my mouth dropping moment there. Someone just let off a screecher outside.
Oh no, is it that time already?
Too soon for Halloween fireworks.
Yeah, we just had the October long weekend.
Yeah, it was just fall harvest time.
Did you see the United States rename Columbus Day Indigenous Peoples Day?
I did not see that.
Yeah, Joe Biden actually made like a declaration saying it's no longer Columbus Day. And a friend of mine in Texas.
Well, actually, I did see something on social media where there was, I did see that, but I didn't dive into it. I was just kind of going, that's great. That's awesome.
I think it's amazing. And a friend of mine in Texas said, we're talking yesterday, and they said, you know, a lot of businesses are recognizing it, and a lot, you know, some aren't, which is, you know, their prerogative. But I think it's great to actually get a dialogue for that for Indigenous people. Especially in the states where being Indigenous is, you know, kind of like the mascot or like a very derogatory kind of like, you know, cowboys and Indians and that kind of a thing, which is, you know, kind of the same here too, like in Canada. But but anyway, yeah, kind of off topic, but I think that's really cool.
Okay, well, I get to talk to you in a couple of minutes, so I'm excited.
Okay. See you in a couple of minutes.
See you soon.
Hello again. We're back with Dr. Raquel Kling from Northern Health. Hello, Dr. Kling. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Would you like to introduce yourself and kind of talk about why you're joining us?
Yeah, so my name is Dr. Raquel Kling, and I work as a medical health officer for Northern Health. And I'm really glad to be here today to support passing on some information about monkeypox and just trying to make sure we can get everyone the best information possible about what's going on.
That's amazing. So did you just want to kind of start talking about exactly like what is monkeypox and kind of where did it originate from, if that's a question?
Yeah. So monkeypox is a virus. It's a disease caused by the monkeypox virus. And it's passed on from person to person through really close, like skin to skin contact. This is a virus that actually originated from animals, given the name monkeypox. So it's actually something that circulates in rodents as well as some other primates. And it's a zoonotic disease, which means it's a disease that does get passed from animals to humans.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Russell. Go
ahead. Go ahead, Christine. Sorry.
Who does it affect? Like when we're looking at monkeypox, like what is the at-risk population?
Yeah, so the at-risk population in general, it could be absolutely anyone since it is passed on through, you know, very close contact, skin to skin contact, or really close contact with the rash, or in things that come in contact with the rash, like clothing, bedding, towels. Just because it could be passed on in those ways, it can be passed on to anyone. Although the current cases that we're seeing in Canada and in BC Not all cases, but most of the cases we are seeing in men who have sex with men or report having men who have sex with men, it's not sexually passed on through sex, but it is passed on through the contact, close contact of sexual activity. So the close touching, kissing, the bed sheets and bedding. So yeah, right now those are the majority of our cases, although we certainly do see cases outside of that population.
Okay. So you kind of talked about how monkeypox is transmitted. One thing I'm kind of curious about is, so if the virus can be on clothing and towels and bedding and stuff, how long does it stay on those items to be transmissible?
I think that's something that we're still learning, but if you do know of someone who was in that is a case of monkeypox and they were in contact with clothes or bedding, just washing it normally will kill the virus.
Like cold water, hot water, does it really matter, or just with detergent?
I think just with detergent, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. Wow.
That's good to know.
It's also normal hand washing, just washing your hands. Like COVID, it also does get rid of any monkeypox virus on your hands.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Keep washing those hands.
Yeah.
Could you explain more like why the LGBTQ community is being targeted for vaccinations, or maybe that isn't like the right word, but why are we concentrating on that population?
Yeah, it's because that's where we're seeing the most cases right now, both in BC and in Canada as well. And because, you know, we do have vaccine available to us, but we don't have an enormous supply of vaccine available to us. We need to be very targeted in who we're offering our doses of vaccine to. And now the risk is with the GBMSM community, and that's the community that we are targeting for vaccine. But if the risks change or if information changes, then we'll absolutely consider how we can change our vaccine approach.
Where did it kind of, okay, I know it came from animals, but was there somewhere particular in the world where it kind of comes from? Because there's a lot of information out there where, you know, certain parts of the world, like on social media, people are saying, oh, it originated from this place, or it originated from this place, or something like that. Is there like a specific region in the world where it originated from?
Yeah, so the World Health Organization website provides a really good in-depth look at, you know, where it originated, where it's coming from. But our current cases, we do believe are coming from areas of Africa.
Okay.
So based on the data, what are the anticipated rates of infection, like for British Columbia and for Northern Health? Like, are you seeing spikes of infection?
Yeah, so that's a question probably best answered by the BC Centre for Disease Control. Yeah, every health authority is seeing different rates of transmission and different types of transmission.
Okay.
So if
we're certainly seeing a slowdown in transmission as well with the vaccine campaigns that are happening in all of our health authorities.
Oh, that's really exciting. Good.
That's awesome.
That's really encouraging.
Yeah. It's great to hear. Absolutely.
Yeah. So being mindful of fear mongering, what is kind of being done to help people be informed of helpful for prevention and what's fake news? Basically, kind of where can someone go to be more informed properly?
Yeah, so we do know that there's a lot of fake news out there and a lot of misinformation circulated. You know, similar to what we learned through COVID, our best sources of information are still our best sources of information. So the BC Centre for Disease Control website, the Ministry of Health website, our Northern Health website has a lot of great information as well. And We've also really been working with the Health Initiative for Men team, who also have a lot of great information on their website.
Wow.
A lot of great resources.
Cool. So is there like a kind of a one-stop shopping place where people can go? So if I went to Northern Health website, I can kind of link to all of these other places?
Yeah, the Northern Health website has all the key information that you need to know. And if you want to read more, it has links to all of the different best sources.
Awesome.
That's good to know. This was a question that was given to us, but why is Northern Health the only region in BC that must call a number to book an appointment versus other areas where they can book privately online?
Mm-hmm. So given our really vast geography, we have a geography the size of France with communities spread all over, and just the need to get this going pretty quickly, we needed to use mechanisms that were already in place for us. And so using our Northern Health virtual clinic was the best quick option for us. And it also ensures a high level of privacy and confidentiality for our clients. So we thought it's not as convenient as going to an online booking mechanism, but it still allows that privacy for everyone.
I'm just kind of waiting. I've actually phoned the number for Northern Health that was given on the website to inquire about the monkeypox vaccine, like for myself. So I'm just waiting for a callback from that. So do you see any advancement in time or Northern Health to become more accessible to the vaccine?
Yeah, that's unfortunately very difficult for us just because it takes some time to first make sure we have a good access to vaccine and then making sure we can get it to the right location at the right time. It just takes a little bit of extra planning for us, which is why it takes a little bit longer to get your appointment.
Right.
But if things change, if the demand increases, or if there's, you know, a certain community that has a lot of people wanting the vaccine, we can certainly look into changing things to making it more accessible.
Awesome.
Do we have active cases of monkeypox right now in our region?
So we do now have one case of monkeypox that's been confirmed in Northern Health.
Wow, okay.
Which is why it's really important that we're passing this information mm-hmm. on and making sure that people know that it's still at risk, even though it's not a huge risk, still important. It's available for pre-exposure prophylaxis.
So what kind of medications are needed to take if someone is infected with monkeypox?
So there's no treatment for monkeypox since it is a virus, but there are things that the healthcare system can support if needed. So I know that there's some clients that do have issues with pain from the virus, which is really unfortunate. So for people that are having a lot of pain, then our clinicians can certainly help provide some medication around that. Sometimes antiviral medications might work in certain circumstances. And then there's also instances where the rash or the open sores or blisters can get infected with a bacteria. And then we could treat those as well. But unfortunately, for the most part, luckily, the virus seems to be fairly mild and people manage fairly well. But for those that are having additional symptoms, absolutely, there's some things that our clinicians can support with.
What kind of timeline is someone looking at if they become infected with the monkeypox virus? Like from time of infection to time of not being infected anymore?
Oh, how long does it take before you're no longer infectious?
Correct.
I would need to double check that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it just varies from case to case, I guess, or?
I believe it's a few weeks. It does take quite a while for someone to not be infectious anymore, but Luckily, we do know that when you do have monkeypox, it's actually very difficult to pass it on. And there's a lot of things that you can do to decrease transmission. So the most important thing to do to decrease transmission is make sure no one's in contact with any rash or open sores or blisters. So things like wearing long sleeves, long pants, limiting sexual contact, not sharing any bedding, clothing. And like I said, just washing your hands a lot. Those are all really important things to do to decrease the risk of transmission.
So another just kind of a follow-up. So if someone is infected, is the best kind of thing for them to do is to isolate themselves, like as with COVID, or like if you're talking about covering wounds and sores, can you go on with your life?
Yeah, you can still go on with your life. So if you do have a lab confirmed case of monkeypox, you will get a call from one of our nurses in Northern Health, and you can absolutely discuss your unique circumstances with the nurse and arrive at a solution. But for the most part, we don't ask our cases to isolate because we do know that people are infectious for quite a long period of time. And so, yeah, we just ask that you take the best steps that you can to decrease the risk of transmission to others, like covering up, maybe in some circumstances, wearing a mask, and again, washing your hands. Those are all important ways to decrease transmission.
So with like as with COVID, do you have to wait until you're not infectious before you can get like a vaccine, or is that even anything that you have to worry about after you get monkeypox?
Yeah, so once you have monkeypox, the vaccine won't do anything anymore in terms of reducing your symptoms or decreasing your level of infectiousness. We really try to get the vaccine to somebody who's exposed before they have symptoms. We can use the vaccine in two ways. It could either be used, like I just said, for anyone who's exposed to a case of monkeypox, but before they have symptoms, and that really helps decreasing the risk of transmission to that person who's exposed. But we can also use it for pre-exposure prophylaxis. So anyone who's GBMSM and might be at risk for contracting monkeypox, we can also provide the vaccine to them as well.
Okay.
Do you find, or over time will you have to get like a follow-up vaccine, like say if you were infected with monkeypox?
I think that's something we're still looking to determine.
Because, like, from what I know, little I know about the monkeypox vaccine is you'll get one dose and then there is a follow-up to that dose. Is that correct?
Yeah, right now we're opening up a vaccine to anyone who's received their first dose. They can be eligible for their second dose. We're still creating a plan in Northern Health for that, but it's absolutely available for anyone who has had their first dose. If you do think you're ready for your second dose, please give our Northern Health virtual clinic a call and we'll work on setting up an appointment for the second dose.
Okay, so there's no like set time limit between doses, like like just referencing COVID because that's all we know right now, really, is there a timeline like 10 days, 14 days, a month, or 6 months?
Yeah, it's I believe it's 21 days after the first dose. You can be eligible for your second dose.
Okay.
Did we go through all of our questions?
One of the things and this, please forgive me if it sounds really dumb, but just again, based on like social media and seeing posts of things that are kind of inundating us with monkeypox, is if you do receive the vaccine, are you basically passing on monkeypox to someone who's not doesn't have the vaccine?
No, you can't pass on monkey. If you're well and you don't have monkeypox and you get the vaccine to
Okay.
prevent you, the vaccine does not mean you can pass on monkeypox through getting the vaccine.
Okay. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
I
No,
just
they're all good questions. They're all good questions.
did
And
you
maybe
see
just to
stuff
clarify.
on Yeah.
And maybe just to clarify for those who've had dose one of the vaccine, sorry, just to correct myself, it's 28 days from the first vaccine to get dose two.
Okay.
And also you mentioned COVID vaccine as well. We all know that another booster is available for those that do also that are also interested in getting their COVID booster. You should get, there should be 14 days between the two vaccines.
Oh, okay. So if you do like the monkeypox and then you wait 14 days for the COVID and then another 14 days for the second dose.
From... Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
Good to know. Yeah. I'm just thinking, I don't think I have any more questions.
I don't have any more questions either. Do you want to add anything yourself that we didn't cover or ask or pass on to you?
I don't think so. I just want to point again to our Northern Health website for any information on monkeypox. Everything is there. And just also want to make sure to promote the vaccine for pre-exposure prophylaxis. Please give our Northern Health virtual clinic a call. The phone number is on our Northern Health website.
Can I ask what that phrase means? What you just said? Don't ask me to repeat it.
The Northern Health virtual clinic?
No. The
pre-exposure prophylaxis.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's where you try to intervene before someone's actually exposed to the virus.
Oh, okay.
So giving a vaccine before exposure to try to prevent someone who might later go on to be exposed to monkeypox. It
right.
To prevent somebody from actually getting monkeypox.
So what would somebody look for if like if you're face to face with someone and you're not sure if they've had it or they haven't been or they haven't been open about their condition, what would somebody look for if you're in that situation?
Sure. So yeah, symptoms of monkeypox start out actually being fairly vague. So things like fever, fatigue, exhaustion, headache. Those are really common early symptoms of monkeypox. And we also know those are also very common symptoms of other viruses.
Right.
But following that early stage, about like 1 to 5 days later, people with monkeypox will develop a rash or sores or blisters. And that's pretty unique to monkeypox. So if, yes, anybody thinks that they have been exposed to monkeypox and you are seeing that rash, it would be good to seek care to get tested just to confirm if it's really monkeypox or not.
Is there like a long or a quick turnaround to find out if you've actually like to get a lab result if you're positive for monkeypox?
We do the best we can to get everything going as quick as possible, but since this is the north, sometimes it just does take a little extra time to get results.
Okay. So I guess the other thing is, I guess if there's a wider spread, then the monkeypox vaccine will be more available to not just the LGBT community, but to basically everyone.
That's something to be determined provincially by BCCDC and others, but we're always looking closely to see what's happening, how it's being spread and who it's being spread to. And then we do our best to try to change plans as we get new information.
Because one of the things that I've really had arguments with some people about is under the umbrella of LGBT men being targeted is a lot of the events that where it may pass are like pride events, like in the past summer, or from, you know, just very kind of like not super spreader events, but kind of like congested people in that kind of sense. Would that be fair to say that that would be why LGBT is kind of being, I don't even know what word to say without it coming across as kind of flippant. But do you like would that be a basic understanding as to why monkeypox is kind of spreading? It's because it's from like these large events where people are gathering from across the world, or it's hard to say.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to say right now. It certainly does provide the opportunity to spread cases more when we are having these mass gatherings and there's more opportunity for more really close and intimate contact.
Right.
It does provide that opportunity, but I don't think we have any data to confirm that that's actually where that's the source of most of the cases.
Because a lot of the dialogue and a lot of the discussion is basically saying it feels like it's being targeted, like how HIV and AIDS was back in the 80s, where this is being passed on by gay men, or and there's a lot of defensive people out there. So I just wanted to kind of educate myself, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And we definitely want to be sensitive to the stigma that's out there. I think we really want to be clear that while it is being passed around right now in the GBMSM community, absolutely anyone can get it. And there should really, we really don't want to see, absolutely, we don't want to see any stigma to anyone who is a case or might be exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. I think the key here too is being preventative, right? And just getting the information out there. I definitely learned a lot today. There was a couple of things that I didn't know. And I appreciate the fact that you've come on today to tell us about monkeypox and just get the right information out there.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Are we good?
I think we're good.
So you didn't want to add anything, Dr. Kling?
I think you guys went over everything.
Fantastic. Okay,
Yeah.
well, thank you very much. And if I'll email possibly for more clarification for the links, and then kind of like share them
Perfect.
with our social media as well.
That's great. Thanks so much. And
Okay.
if any information changes in the future, like, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Like, we can always do an update too.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. We don't have a lot of contacts or really great ways of spreading information, especially to specific communities. So, yeah, I appreciate this.
Awesome. Have a good night. You
guys
Right.
too.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.